We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the Ninth Man. The Ninth Man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Maxson.
What do you think?
I think he's telling the truth.
So do I. Ugh, damn that captain at the White House. They're all the same, these amateurs. Outsiders. Always sticking their fingers in. No, this one's a waste of time. I feel sure Dash has told us everything he knows. Hell, put yourself in his shoes. Would you have given yourself up? Gone through what he's gone through? Just to lead us up the garden path?
No, hell. Not with a chance of a death penalty for treason or whatever looming over one's head. Still, there's always the possibility that something may have slipped his memory. We've given him something to brood on for a while. I wonder about this captain at the White House. Maybe we ought to go by and talk to him, see what he's got.
Not a chance. The director expressly forbids it.
It'd be a lot faster.
No dice. You don't understand how strongly the director feels about extra-bureau interference. Hell, I can tell you, I'd hate to be in the captain's shoes. The director will probably have him investigated for subversive activities.
But what if the man is right? Shouldn't we talk to him and find out what set him off? It's dumb to start from scratch when all you have to do is to talk to him. Heck, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I'd keep that kind of thing under my hat if I were you. The director doesn't think it likely that any brass-polishing military man sitting on his backside in the White House can come up with something that the entire machinery of the Federal Bureau of Investigation would have missed. I happen to agree with him.
Hey, I didn't mean the director was dumb. I just meant the whole idea was dumb. One phone call. That's all it would take.
Carter, there's one thing you should always remember. When the director says frog, most of us take a great big jump. And when he says this joker in the White House is off his rocker, we reach for straitjackets. You better get smart and join the team, friend. Otherwise, you can kiss your pension goodbye.
So, what do we do?
Oh, we check around a little more. Then we tell the director that he's right, and we can ignore this lead.
That evening, the Ninth Man parked his gray Lincoln car near the Roger Smith and hurried into the hotel. carrying an inexpensive zippered briefcase and a brown paper bag with a bottle of bourbon in it. He was running late, what with having spent much of the afternoon scouting up a suitable location for what he was planning as the evening's culminating activity. It was nearly 6:20 by the time he knocked on the newsman's door.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave Pastor.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Where are the girls?
We'll pick them out later when they finish their shift. Say, nice room. Expensive?
My paper picks up the tab.
Sorry I'm late. I had to file a couple of stories before I could break loose. Did you go by to see about your White House accreditation?
Yeah. Took a little longer than I expected. I've only been back about an hour.
Good. Main thing is you've done it. Well, let's celebrate. I thought we could have a few belts while we wait for the girls to get off.
Sure, terrific. Glasses are in the bathroom. Hang on, I'll get them.
Pleasant evening for a night out.
Right, here we are. Do you need ice? I can call room service.
Nah, but we could use some cold setups. Didn't I see a Coke machine down the hall?
You're kidding. You drink bourbon with Coke?
Only among friends. Would you mind?
It's your stomach, buddy.
you want some change?
No, I got some. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be right back, huh?
Right. Now what first?
Wallet on bedside table.
Some of this might be useful later. Driver's license, Denver Press Pass, Sigma Delta Chi Car, Social Security. Some money, too. That'll help.
But no White House card. Try the chest of drawers.
Socks, handkerchiefs, curtain of cigarettes.
Maybe lucky this time.
Shirts, underwear, brown bathing suit, magazine. Better be in this one.
Doesn't appear to be in here either. But there are some very useful items. Scrapbook of clippings under his byline. Rama H. Shepherd. Letters of introduction from a Denver editor authorizing him to represent the Denver Chronicle in Washington, D.C. And carbons of two interviews already worked up. Shows the format of sending copy back to Denver. Take those quickly. Pump them into the briefcase.
Now the Mauser on top of the papers. Now, pour some bourbon. He's coming back.
Right. Here we are. Three bottles of bubbling Coke.
Thanks. You're my kind of host. You want some?
Hell no. Water'll do me fine.
Coming right up. How'd it go today? Any trouble getting through the credentials committee?
Oh, not really. Oh, they're pretty tight on security. Lots of checking and double-checking. Glad I don't have to pay their long-distance phone bills.
But they cleared you?
Sure, no sweat.
That's good. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
I hear they've come up with a new card, different from our old one. You mind if I take a look at yours?
Sure, once I get it. Boy, were they busy today. Lots of people with gripes. There must have been 20 reporters in and out while I was there, bitching about one thing or another. They told me to come back in the morning to pick it up.
In the morning?
Yeah, they need some kind of a signature or something. They said they'd have it ready by 11. Give me a slip of paper. What did I do with it? Oh, yeah. Here it is. Man named Chesser. Don't bother to come early, he said. Red tape in this town is fantastic.
Now what do? Can I wait? Can I put the whole thing off until tomorrow?
Probably not. You've made too big a thing of the girls. If you try to improvise now or back out, you might blow the whole thing.
It's been a long day. How about you? You started finding any stories yet?
A couple. Not really due for a week or so, though. They told me to take my time and get settled in first.
How do you send your stuff?
Night wire, mainly. I'm supposed to hold the budget down.
I guess I'll shoot them a few thousand words every couple of days. Mainly follow up on a wire service story if I can find a fresh angle, you know.
Yeah, I know. I kind of miss the old newspaper grind since I joined the wire. The Chronicle. See, I think I met some guy from the Chronicle once. A guy named Capers. Is he still there?
Capers, very much so. He's the editor these days.
Well, what do you know? I haven't seen him for quite a while. How long have you been with the paper, anyway?
Guess it's great in Denver one way or another. But generally, I live pretty quietly. Say, enough of this dull old shop talk. Dave, old buddy, when are we going to get to the girls?
Pretty soon now, I guess. Just about time. I was enjoying your story so much, I didn't realize how late it was getting. Look, Carl, let's take what's left in the bottle. Huh? We may want to loosen them up a little.
Sure, terrific. Little old wallet. I mustn't forget my little old wallet. Where'd I put it now? Oh, yeah, here it is. Right, come on, let's go.
Now, let's play it cagey, Bobby. You may want to bring the girls to your room later. Who knows how things may work out, eh? So hide that bottle under your arm and let's work out separately, just in case. That way no one will know we got a party going.
Good thinking, old buddy. Good thinking.
When we get to the lobby, I'll let you go up ahead and then I'll follow you out. Car's just a little way up the road.
Delicious, do you think?
Huh? Not a chance. Come on. Let's get going, huh? There's the car just over there.
Hey! Little old Lincoln, huh? Not bad, old pal. Not bad at all. They must pay you wire service jokers pretty well, huh?
Yeah. It's okay. I've had it a couple of years now, and it's beginning to show signs of wear. Hell, I was just on the verge of trading it in when this damn war came along and messed me up.
Oh, that's sad. Just too damn bad. Friggin' war. Whole thing's a great big crying shame.
Here. Hop in.
Thanks.
Yeah. Nothing like a war to change one's ideas.
Dear old pals, jolly old pals. Hey, you mind if I take a swig? I'm not driving.
Sure, go right ahead.
Hey, old buddy. Thought you said these girls worked downtown. This isn't the way downtown.
We're going to pick them up at their place. You know how women are about getting dressed up.
And getting undressed, too, eh, old buddy? What's this? Looks like the old Wild West. Don't see any houses at all. Come to that. Hell, I don't see anything. Close my eyes for a couple of seconds, we end up in the forest. Where are we?
Place called Rock Creek Park, one of the better parts of the district.
But where in the blazes do the girls live? Not here, surely, huh?
No, we're not there yet. I thought maybe I should give you the lowdown on them first. They're really something special.
Well, how about that? Huh? Dozed off for a minute or two and never spilled a drop. How about you?
Huh? Nope, not right now.
Well, lay it on the line, old buddy. They must be really something. I'm beginning to feel a bit better about this. Really something out of the ordinary, huh?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Hey, what the hell are you doing, huh? It's a gun you got there, isn't it? What is this? Some kind of game? Hey, don't point it at me, man, like that.
Get out.
What do you mean, get out? I don't get it.
You will. I said, get out.
Hey, watch it, Dave. Hell, man, you almost made me spill the booze. What's got into you? What the hell are you trying to do, huh?
Don't move. Stay right where you are.
Oh, no, don't point that thing at me, Dave, please. My God, dear God. Dave, are you serious? What is it? What's the matter, money? Is that what you want?
No, money? It isn't money.
This is crazy, Dave. What have I done? Please, don't point me like that. You can't be serious. Take my money. Hey, here, take anything. Don't hurt me.
I'm sorry. I really am,
Dave,
but this is necessary.
I never did anything to you. Please, don't. Take what you want. Let me.
Poor slob. Did you have to do it that way? Just like that? In cold blood?
Yes. It was the only way.
Couldn't you have explained it first? It might have been easier to die if you'd known how important it was.
Do you really think that would have made any difference? Surely the easiest way was to get it over quickly before his mind had time to dwell on it.
Yeah. Yes, that may be so. Better get rid of the bottle. Throw it away over there in the bushes. No one's gonna know it's there.
The ninth man, alias Dave Pastor, and soon to assume yet another name, hooked the body of Bob Shepherd under the arms and dragged it into the underbrush beneath one of the tulip trees in Rock Creek Park. The spot was at the end of a narrow dirt road past Dumbarton Oaks. It was a concealed glen filled with elms, oaks, and dogwoods, and a stand of tulip trees. He fetched a sack of lye from the trunk of the car, another of his afternoon purchases, and carried it to the body. Then he squatted and removed the newsman's wallet and the little sheet of paper in his breast pocket, which told him when to report to the White House for his card. Next, he ripped the lye sack open and sprinkled the substance liberally along the length of the body to keep the odor down. For a few moments, he stood above it, surveying the isolation, assuring himself that the area was sufficiently secluded to keep the body hidden for a long time.
This is well and truly off the beaten track. No one is likely to wander through here.
June 26th, the 14th day after the landing. The ninth man stood in front of a man behind the desk whose nameplate read Albert C. Chesser.
Good morning. Do you have my White House card ready? Robert Shepherd. I was told to be here at 11.
Shepherd.
Have you had an occasion?
Certainly. Colorado driver's license and Denver press card. Will that do?
Yeah, that's okay. You know, Mr. Shepard, for a moment there, I didn't recognize you. Such a crowd in here yesterday.
Yeah, you were very busy. There were at least 20 going backwards and forwards while I was here. I guess we're all working too hard these days.
Well, I suppose so. What with the war effort and everything.
Anyway, I'm glad you remembered me. I'd hate to go through that telephoning business again. I'm certainly glad I don't have to pay your long-distance phone bills.
We have to be careful. Right, everything is here. This is your accreditation as a White House correspondent, Mrs. Shepard. Your name should be on the gate list by now, but if it isn't, just have them call me.
Thank you.
Be sure and take good care of that card, even with your name on the list. They won't let you through the gate without it, no matter how well they get to know you. Security is very tight these days.
I'm glad to hear that. One can't be too cautious in times like these.
Who is this?
My name is Carter. I'm with the FBI.
I was expecting a call from the director.
I'm not sure you're going to get it, Captain.
What?
There seems to be some question over here about your theory. I've been assigned to check it out.
Okay. You want to come over here, or shall I come over there? Yeah, it's an old-fashioned four-letter word. It pretty well sums up the way I feel about the FBI.
Apart from personal feelings, the truth of the matter is, I thought it might be better if we met elsewhere. Someone might see us if we met here and mention it to the director when he returns from New York.
You're doing this without the director's permission? I understand. All right, where should we meet?
We might meet in some ordinary place. How about the Washington Monument?
Okay.
Inside, about a third of the way up the steps. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Say about 4 o'clock this afternoon.
I'll be there.
Good. 4 o'clock, Captain. And don't mention this to anyone.
That was The Ninth Man by John Lee, adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Mackeson. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.